Well, hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to another installment of Show to View with Mike G, the show of life, the show of Houston, Japan, being open, being behind the bar, having great friends, and so much more. Today we sit down with LGBTQ plus brand ambassador for Bacardi, Rich Bailey. It's been about a year, I think, since Rich has been here in Austin, Texas. We've had some great chats after this one that we recorded. And I suggest you ask him all the questions, all the real questions, all the pressing questions, because you'll be surprised what you find out, and you'll be surprised to find out how transparent he is. So without further ado, I hope you enjoy this great chat with Rich Bailey.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah. I feel like, I don't know. I tell people like I'm an open book, and then it's like, I don't know. I feel like people either aren't asking the right questions, or they say I come off like nonchalant. Like I'll say something and I'm like, cause it's not like a thing for me. You know, like I don't, I can talk about, you know, whatever, and it just not be, and I'll casually bring it up because it's like, that's just the way I like to approach it. And I might have it on light, you know, whatever whimsical way, but then they feel like, well, I'm not connected with you because I don't know you. But I'm like, I don't just tell people like every, like whatever, but also like I kind of do.
Yeah.
Like it's like a weird thing.
There's a notion, and because I feel like at least that piece of which we have in common being February kids, I think a lot, and this was the question I was thinking about myself and about you that I had a conversation, but the way I'll preface it is, you're around a lot of people. You're in the brand world, obviously hospitality,
right,
when you're working behind the bar. Do you ever feel alone in a group of people? As in, there's you. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
right?
Like, I'm here experiencing it, but like, I'm here.
That's right.
Like, kind of, yeah. A lot of times. Especially, or not even just alone, I would say. I would just, oh, are we recording?
No,
okay. Just mostly just like a weird, like some, I guess it's like fluff sometimes. Like you have these meetings with like, you know, certain buyers or whatever. And it's like, are we really connecting?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
are we really getting to know each other? And it's like, you know, I kind of want us to either get there or not. You know, I'm kind of like where do we stand? If it's like, if it's acquaintances, we see each other, you know. But some places, or sometimes when I go somewhere, it's like, I feel like home, you know?
Okay.
And I do like, and I start to notice, like, I like having the, what's the word? When you're like, when people really don't know you, like the animosity, like.
Anonymity.
I was like, it's something, I see it. When I go to a bar and like, none of the bartenders know I'm industry or whatever, and I just like get a beer and a shot, and it's just like, I can like, relax.
It's
like
weird,
I'm but it's like when you go to a bar and like everyone knows you, it's like I'm on and I'm just like, ah, but it's like, ooh, I just wanna go and drink, you know,
without
XYZ brand.
Yeah.
Even I'm not even thinking of work. I'm just like, give me a, you know, a twisted tea and a whatever. That's like kind of where I go to.
Yeah.
Like I go get a twisted tea or something and blah blah blah, sponsored by twisted tea. and yeah, I just kinda, I don't know.
Yeah, it's
a weird thing.
The thing that I wanted to ask you that stems from all in the same neighborhood of this kind of thinking is, I meet a lot of people that I'll go there.
Mm-hmm.
And people tell me things, whether I ask them to or not.
Right. Oh, they'd love to talk.
Well, and things that like involve deep traumas and stuff. And I've had a lot of people that have done that. I'm like, all right, that's fine. You consider me a safe space.
Yeah.
But very few people that I've been with, lived with, and been in a relationship, I think truly understood me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you have people in your life outside of family that truly understand you? There's knowing you, but understanding you is different.
Yeah. No, just like my inner circle.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I keep them with like the big things, yeah. You know, like, well, it's really not like, I don't know. I feel like I tell people like I'm not like that entertaining or whatever. I am. I do find.
Of course you are.
I am. But it's like my.
This is a joy, Rich.
Yeah. Thank you. You know, but it's like, I don't think there are not that many hard conversations that I can't have with anybody.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Right.
And it's just, I don't know. I feel like you said, like people that understand me, it's few and far between.
Yeah.
But that's because I don't think people are trying to listen to understand. People are listening to be right. They Ooh. Want to be validated.
Oh, that's
they
good.
See everything. And I tell everybody when I have a disagreement or argue with anybody, mm-hmm. I kind of lead off with this, like, I'm only arguing to be understood. I yeah. do not care if you agree with me or not.
Oh,
like,
I love that.
Want you to understand where I'm coming from.
I love that.
And then it's always you come in a defense mode. I'll say something you and I'm like, we're not talking about what I did to you. If I'm bringing up a trauma or something,
yeah.
let's kind of address that. You apologize. It shouldn't be, well, you did. And then that's when I shut down.
Oh,
and
wow.
so it's few and far between. So like,
get that, though. I yeah. really get that paradigm. It's, yeah. it's. I don't give a shit about
yeah.
being right. In fact, I love learning from being wrong.
Exactly. That's I'd love favorite. To see other side. If you can show me your side of thinking,
yeah.
of how you got to here,
uh-huh.
I can show you how I got here. I'm now learning more about you.
Absolutely.
You know, I recently had a disagreement with a friend. It wasn't even a big thing.
Mm.
I just was like, hey, I'm sorry, blah, 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 blah. I apologize. And I felt like the best way of going about the situation was just not bringing up the reason and why. Because it was like, it shouldn't matter. I did this. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Won't
yeah,
happen
yeah.
again. But in her head, she was like, you would rather me think you were doing X, Y, and Z than to give me an explanation. And I was like, oh, shit. I didn't think your brain. I was just like, oh, okay. So
yeah,
then
yeah.
now I explain. And I was like, huh. How many times have I been in that where just like, instead of just saying like, you know, I hit your car and then explaining why I hit your car. Like,
yeah.
hey, the
yeah.
damage is done. I'm sorry. Let's get it fixed. Instead of like, actually, but there's like the people you care about, you kind of want to give them like your thought process of
yeah.
like, hey, you well, hit they, my car, they, you know, and it's.
You're right. I think the people, the right people in our
yeah. lives,
whether it's romantic or family or career, they want to know why as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not because they think that you're bad,
because
sometimes that's where you're like, well, I make good decisions. Why are you asking me why,
right? Yeah.
But it's a very interesting thing. Like, so you like people.
Mm-hmm.
Can you also embrace, it sounds like it, people that are completely different than you?
Oh, yeah. I embrace that more because it breaks up the monotonous of life.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like if I'm around the people that look like me, that dress like me, that sound like me, that want the same things, it's like I don't feel like as a person I'm growing.
Yeah.
I'm not really understanding culture and unexperiencing culture
yeah.
outside of my own.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's, you know, like, and I do sometimes like go back and like, I do understand safe spaces and where you feel most comfortable and you could be yourself a lot.
Yeah.
But then sometimes I like to be outside of that. And then it's like, then you kind of learn like what you like to do.
Mm-hmm.
I never hiked until I came to Austin and I did a hike and I was like, I fucking love it. I want to go to more.
Yeah, that's great.
And then, you know, it, like I said, you experience culture and I love experiencing different people's, you know, different things. And it's like, oh, that's beautiful. You know, I can take some tradition that you have and maybe interpret it my way, you know, and even like with food, you know, I love to cook different types of and styles of food. That's how I learn about flavor. And it's like, it's the essence of life, you know?
I agree.
I think you need it all.
I absolutely agree. And if I can always, okay, I'm glad, Rich, you can grab your scotch, because that's
like,
really important.
I looked and I was like, can I grab it myself?
Because like people think the mic is like somehow it's going to trigger like operation, you know, that game where you have to think. No, it won't. It'll just.
My phone vibrated and I was like, oh, I was like, what did I do? Did I touch something? I'm like, okay. But yeah.
So is there, because we were talking about Kay and we can have this conversation a lot. And actually one of the first times that we truly bonded was that. And this doesn't have to be about a particular orange political figure, but my father, of which he and I are very close, politically, however, we diverge a lot in our thinking, because I like people, and he doesn't, I don't think he's as embracing of other kinds of people that he doesn't understand. For the network for you and even your exploration of learning about other people, is there a line that you won't cross to try to understand where someone's coming from, that they're to this or to that, and even to you, someone who embraces everybody, it's not right. worth it?
I just say people operate out of two emotions, fear and love, you know?
And Donnie Darko bit, isn't it?
Huh? Yeah, a little bit. I think when you are operating out of hate,
mm-hmm.
especially like hate or something that's harmful towards other people, mm-hmm. that just seems like, you know, no real reasoning, or rather than just like hate and fear,
mm-hmm.
then I just, like I said, just shut down. Like, I'm a very petty person. I can go
You're
low.
Petty?
Yeah, I'm very petty. Okay. I mean,
this
but
is
like,
very not, good to know.
Yeah, but I don't just bring it out. It's not provoked.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
like it's a guy to be provoked. You know, it's like just not like I'm just not here just like doing nothing crazy. But I'm just, you know, I think we're humans. We react to, you know, like if you hurt me, I want to hurt you back, kind of a thing.
Retaliatory.
Yeah, like, yeah, but yeah, I mean, like I said, if someone's just coming out of like pure ignorance or whatever, mm-hmm. or just like, you know, like racial slurs or mm-hmm, any like mm-hmm. thing like that towards me or a group of people, is just like, I'm done with you.
Yeah.
Like, bye bye.
Yeah.
Cut it out. But I try to, you know, stay in the positive. I'm aware that, you know, you could sit across from someone and you share different political views or just views and things on life. So I try to always find the commonality with people and just kind of stay in that little bubble.
Which is the book thing we were talking about in the living room.
Yeah.
You're trying to find a book that we had in common.
Right.
And in fact, we did have the Tipsy Texan book.
Yeah. And
David
and
Allen,
and
you
live,
son of a
and live in that bubble and then kind of explore versus like, you know, being on the optimistic side of just like, you know, hey, let's stay positive, whatever. Versus you just like, okay, well, you know, this person comes from this background, so we probably won't have anything in common. And then you just
foregone conclusion because you go into a situation thinking how it's going to be.
Yeah.
You're born and raised Houston, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
How was it? I am a straight white male. For me, things aren't very difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I did move a lot, and so I was a stranger most of my life. That's a different kind of social challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But was the process of understanding that you're a gay man, an African American gay man, which is 2 points, mm-hmm. can be challenging.
Yeah.
Was that something that you felt you were bombarded with hate and discrimination as you? Because Houston's mm-hmm. pretty open place, I think.
Yeah.
But for you, was it a pretty good experience or was it very troubling?
Just in life or
I think bars? Before bars, I think are good places where people.
That's probably where I got the most.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, tell what. So it was easier than going to A&M and doing a high school in Houston and stuff.
Well, so I would say like I can't take off my skin. I was born black.
Yeah.
You know it. You know. Born gay, same.
Yeah.
I still feel the same, but it was like a lot of self-discovery.
Mm.
And then I didn't come out until after I left college.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I was still like on a DL, like kind of secretively. And it's so weird because like I don't know if you know this, but both of my parents are gay or queer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So my mom is lesbian. My dad's gay.
Uh-huh.
And that would, you would think, oh, great. You have it easy. You know, it's easy to come out. But it was like, I still didn't really understand it. And that's why I tell people like a lot of like, now we're seeing a lot of different representation in media because I used to think that gay was RuPaul's Drag Race. And that was it. And I was like, I don't identify with that. I don't want to do drag. I don't, you know.
Right.
And even knowing my dad did drag, I was just like, well, that's what I think gay men are.
Mm.
So I didn't think I was that and I didn't think I was straight. But I was like, I don't want to get teased or picked at or
mm-hmm,
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot of like shifting throughout the world.
Sure.
And once I kind of figured it out, it's like, oh, there's different ways, there's different lanes, and I don't know if I'm gay or bi or whatever.
Right,
identify.
Right, right.
Queer is a great bubble to live in. I'm like, okay, now. But that was like after I left A&M.
Really?
And then I got to Papacito's, and then when people would question me or ask, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, that's when I first went to my gay bar.
Yeah.
First gay bar was like right when the weekend I moved home. Met up with my best friend and we all went out. And
how old roughly were you when you got
20,
back?
21, 22.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I was a little later.
Yeah.
But I think what operated in the bar scene, I mean, outside of just like random, like whatever, like people just being, you know, screaming from the streets or something.
Yeah.
I didn't really get like that. I think I've grew up in an all black neighborhood, like all black school.
Uh-huh.
When I went to A&M, I had my community, my culture.
Yeah.
I did get a couple like times where like racially profiled.
Sure.
that's a thing, or just like turned away for like a dress code type of situation. And I'd always like, that's what bothers me about bar scene, mm-hmm, the bar mm-hmm. culture of like the whole like hiding behind a dress code to mm-hmm. be like racially oh, right. thing. And it's yeah. like, and you not need to know like where it stems from, because it came in like the 1960s yeah. where bars would try to keep Black people out, and it would say, oh well, like after civil rights movement, but we're doing this because you don't have shoes or certain, but right. it's like the people that can afford them, you know, typically leans to one side or whatever. But anyway, they're going down that road. But I that was mostly the times I've been called like a lot of things yeah. in my own bar. And the great thing about the culture of my bar is like, hey, when one person says this person's cut off, zero questions asked. They're yep. cut off, not what they do. Give me the backstory. It's like all hands on deck. Hey, blah, blah, blah. Cut off. We're 86 in them, or he's banned.
Yeah.
Hey, I actually had a guy come up to me one day. He was like, hey, why am I banned at Johnny's? And I was like, I don't know. Like, someone told me you were banned, and that's how it is. But anytime that I would cut off a customer, it got aggressive. And then they would attack me, or if someone else cut someone off, then they would say, well, that blah, blah, blah. And I'm like,
what?
Bro, what did I do? Like, I'm catching strays. I'm trying to clock out. So, of course, I would say like the most like three violent times I've been in my life were all at the bar.
That's crazy to me.
And catching strays.
I know my privileges. Mm-hmm. I try to be very, very aware of mm-hmm. them. That shit doesn't happen to me.
No.
And we could say, right. of course yeah. it doesn't happen to
me. I mean,
to you,
it might happen in a different light, or it like does, a trigger, but, you know, like yeah. you might. I think it's like, it was the easy go to because yeah. I was the only Black person that worked in my bar, and I was the only gay person that worked in my bar. Even if you didn't know I was gay, you could still say something that would offend me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a lot of people like me visiting my bar all the time, you know, just keeping it diverse. But, and then we're catered to all, you know, we're not a gay bar, but we're just an open community neighborhood safe bar. I don't know. But it's always something that's mindful when I'm in any situation, especially moving here to Austin. It's very, you know, white.
It's a white place.
It's very, you
just
know,
having that conversation. Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know. It's like kind of like you always are aware of it. So you're just like always like kind of, it's the norm. So,
right.
It doesn't really affect me, but it just like, okay, cool. You know, be mindful, you know, it's just like a thing that just like I've been growing up. My mom was always be mindful wherever you are.
Yep.
When you go to people's house, you ask their rules, you know, when I ask you, do I take off my shoes, right. you know, what's appropriate? Because you just kind of want to be mindful of like, this is not your space, this is not your land or whatever.
That's great.
And,
being mindful. How fucking difficult is that? Actually, quite difficult for a lot of people,
because
apparently.
People don't have that inner dialogue of them always having to be aware.
That's right.
Always having to be observant.
Yeah, and considerate.
Mm-hmm. And it's just, I don't know. I think it will make everybody a better, you know, human if you walked around the world and you had to be like, oh, well, I gotta, you know, am I looking presentable today?
Because,
you know, I wanna X, Y, and Z. I can't wear these to certain bars. You know, I think of like that when I dress for the day, like, oh, I have rips in my pants, or I have on certain shoes. Well, maybe I shouldn't go to Rainy Street today to visit accounts because I might get X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And it's like just
you're very conscious of it.
The dialogue is there.
I started studying psychology.
Mm-hmm.
That was what I was going to get my major in, but mm-hmm. I had an interesting conversation with my dad, and then I got a business degree. But mm-hmm. I'm still going to go into practice someday, mm-hmm. which I was thinking, well, maybe Rich has some of the same traits that I do, one of those being, and it sounds like it, are you a curious person?
Very, very curious.
And
I didn't think I was growing up. I'm an only child. I don't know if you know. So I'm like always like having that like desperate need of like friends and love and attention and things like that. But at a respectful, mm-hmm. you know, like, hey, you can go home. I like you, but no. And I don't know. Like when I went to A&M, I was a computer engineering major, and I wanted to double major in psychology. My advisor told me, she's like, a certain amount of people don't even graduate with one degree, and you want to get two totally polar different, you know, well, not totally, mm-hmm. but like a little bit, like some of your classes won't cross over, so you're just extending your time here. And I was like, I don't care. Be a professional student. I like to learn. I like to be a nerd. And I didn't graduate. Surprise, surprise. And I also think too, because like I said, self-discovery, I wasn't being my authentic self. And I think if I would have showed up to college and like focused on work and that, uh-huh. and not like hiding yeah. and trying to like mask into this bubble, then I would have been fine. But also that was 2006, 2007, where the world wasn't as open and queer as it is now.
Yeah.
But you asked me about psychology. Sorry. But yeah, I've always been curious. I wanted to do psychology. And I swapped majors so many times that I was like, I don't think I'm ever going to get a degree.
Yeah.
Went to art history. Oh, went wow. to food science mm-hmm. one semester. I went to philosophy. I went to different majors because it sounded cool.
Sure, sure.
And I was like,
well,
what
curious, it? Yeah, right? I just like, breathe it all in.
Right. Yeah. And I was like, I love psychology. I love learning about people, yeah. sociology, about different groups of people. And psychology is what I, that and art history is what I stayed with the longest.
I like that.
And then when I came back to Houston, I went to a community college for a couple of semesters, trying to appease my mom and like still get my degree.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'd be successful.
Right.
It was like, sucks on you, mom. Still a bartender. But I took Japanese and took three semesters of Japanese.
Can I ask, besides the sheer curiosity that you have, Japanese is quite a difficult language. I have one of my best friends, she's from Japan. Mm-hmm. What drew you to that?
Funny as it seems, it's not going to be the answer you think.
I have no idea. What like,
it was a girl. No, one of my friends, I stayed with her for the summer. Uh-huh. We were doing summer school.
Uh-huh.
So it was like two guys, two girls. We shared a 4-bedroom apartment and she took Japanese to get an A in foreign language. And she actually got an A. Hmm. And I helped her like kind of study, you know, because we had the same schedule. So. Yeah. She would teach me like days of the week and stuff. And then when I got into psychology, they said, you need a foreign language. And I was like, everybody in Houston or Texas in general takes Spanish. Sure, and like nobody learned Spanish. You know, I took 3 years of it in high school.
Yeah.
And I don't know like much outside of Banyo and Por Favor, you know. And then I was like, French, whatever. I was like, but it would sound badass to say Rich knows Japanese.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So I took Japanese just because it just sounded cool and I was like whatever. And then my mom, when I actually went to Japan, I called her and I was like, hey, I bought a ticket to Japan. And she was like silent for a couple of minutes. And it's
Tokyo.
Yeah, okay. Tokyo. Right, I was bartending, so it was like 2016, 17.
Okay, so not so long ago. Yeah,
yeah. And she just like silent, she started crying. She was like, it's so, and it's like very rare I could see my mom cry. So she was just like, I remember you were a boy and you say you wanted to go to Japan and I just thought you were crazy. And she said, it's just like little things like you were really into like Kill Bill and like I'm not into anime. I was the only person in my class that never was watching anime.
Yeah, same.
So that was like a little off for them. They're like, well, why? And I was like, hey, dude, whatever. But she's like, it just seems like this is where you need to be.
Oh, wow.
And it just got me chills. And I was like, what? And I just always believed that.
Yeah.
And that was my first international trip.
Really?
So I called her. I was like, hey, I'm going to Japan. She was like, when you took it in college, I was going to tell you then, but whatever. She's like, you said it and it just always something that stuck with me. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, cool.
What was, like, I've been to Tokyo and been a couple other spots in Japan. What was the thing that was most memorable for you going to Tokyo?
Ooh, getting a DJ or like, DJ on my phone, like playing a Spotify playlist at this one bar. It's called, well, Golden Guy is the you know, the area.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I went to this bar called Shampoo.
Okay.
And I met the bartender. He was super dope. Having him let me like DJ the night away. And we had like a group of people just coming in, rotating in the bar. Everyone wanted to come in. It was like a 10-person seater bar. And I was controlling music and it was like Britney Spears, like we were doing NSYNC, we were doing all the like like pop sing-alongs. We had some Beyonce, we had a lot of great time. And he was like, whenever y'all leave, I'm gonna shut the bar down. I'm leaving whenever you leave. So we stayed to like, you know,
dude, you know what out.
Oh, and that and chicken thighs, like
karage.
Yes, yeah. The 7-Elevens have the best convenience store food. It's so good. I would just like that kind of, I lived off of that. I would go and drink all night and hang out with my friends. And then I ran into a guy from A&M that was my lab partner freshman year. In Japan. He was at the bar and he looked over. He's like, hey, I think I know you.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, okay. You know, he was, to me, he wasn't like that I hope he doesn't see this.
No,
like he was just like a general guy, you know, like, and then I was like, you look familiar. He was like, dude, did you go to A&M? I was like, yeah. And he was like, we took Kim freshman year, first semester. And I was like, holy shit. Me and him, Facebook friends, we hung out, drunk that night. And he was moving back to Houston. Mm. So he ended up coming to my bar.
Oh, wow.
And it was just like a full circle moment. And I actually met a dude that, and this is where I tell people, like, hospitality transcends all.
Yep.
He was from Russia.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Russian guy. He worked for a BMW company or Mercedes-Benz. And he said his dream was to drive a car cross country across the States. And mm-hmm. he was like, I'm going to be in, you know, in the States probably, but I don't know, like a year.
Yeah.
And he said he was driving through. I didn't really have much long conversation, but he told me he's like flying to Florida mm-hmm. and going to California. And he asked me where I lived. And I was like, I live in Houston. I told him the name of the bar. And that was it.
Mm.
And he came into the bar on a random night, did not text me, didn't call me, anything. Came into Johnny's, and he was like, hey, you're here. He's like, I just remember wow. you. You're like one of the, you know. And I was yeah, like, yeah. I thought it was kind of creepy, but it was really, really sweet. And he was like, hey. And he's like, I don't really drink like that. And he told me he couldn't stay because he actually booked his hotel in Dallas, oh, not Houston. So when he realized that my bar was in Houston, he said, I still made the drive.
Oh,
I wanted to see you. And I was like,
that's amazing.
That was sweet.
The world is small. And I had a moment when you mm-hmm. were talking about getting to DJ the bar,
mm-hmm.
a moment that I had forgot.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Mexico City with the owner of Limon Tour, Alberto. Uh-huh. He took me to one of his bars.
Uh-huh.
He's like, be the DJ.
Yeah.
I fucking forgot about that. Yes. Rich. I was, you know, yeah. sometimes you get some brown areas.
Right, yeah. Sense.
It's a feeling, though.
Yeah, it's a dope feeling.
Something about the music itself.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about art for a moment, because there's a question I'll ask you here in a little bit,
mm-hmm.
as we're on a schedule, of course, mm-hmm. you know. What is, who is one of the artists that you find to be influential to what you appreciate aesthetically?
Ooh. That is a really good question.
Because I was looking at your shirt and it evoked something.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh man, okay, so I'm mostly, it's not really an artist, but this is a director.
Oh, I love it.
That Baz Luhrmann.
Oh, I've known Baz Luhrmann, yeah.
I just think his stuff is just like incredible.
Any favorites? Moulin Rouge or Romeo and Juliet? Or?
No. Great Gatsby.
Yeah, but okay.
The Great Gatsby is probably one of my top five favorite movies. Visually,
yeah.
It's like a stunning. I just think that the movie is cool.
Do you like the way they did the music with it?
I did.
Okay.
Jay-Z is actually one of the film music directors for mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
He like curated the music, which I thought was super dope.
Yeah, it's great.
Things I would have changed, but I love the book. Yeah. I read it in high school. I'm reading it right now. Rereading yeah. it. When I went to DC, I brought it on a trip, and that was like me rereading it.
Oh.
So, that Romeo and Juliet, Moulin Rouge, top three of his.
Yeah.
I actually watched Romeo and Juliet last week.
Great movie. Great soundtrack. Great too.
Movie. Oh my gosh. Great soundtrack.
Yeah.
But artists, when I was in Denver a couple weeks ago, I went to The Soul of a Black Man. It's a rotating exhibit.
Uh-huh.
Jay-Z has his hand in there as well.
Oh, it's cool. Great.
It's a black queer guy from Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna butcher his name, but if you look it up, check it out. I have some photos I can show it to
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
That because like I like going to different cities and seeing their art.
Same.
Scene and seeing, you know, being from Houston, having like the best, well, the second best.
You know, Rice is per capita. Manila's great.
Yeah. So I was like, I had a free day, and I was like, hey, let me go to the museum. Went there, just walked around. That I think I stayed in that small like. Exhibit for like an hour and a half, 2 hours. It's probably like
love
you
that.
Can knock out in like 20-30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But then I went upstairs, saw like another exhibit. It was really, really cool. But that was like dope. And he pulled books from people that he's been inspired by, like literally in his life, and then also music. Mm-hmm. And it's a playlist that you can use on Spotify.
Cool.
So I have the playlist on Spotify. I keep saying Spotify. I feel like they should, you know, sponsor.
Get you some money. Yeah.
Or get you some money.
I'm into that too.
If your podcast has been on Spotify.
But, sure is Spotify.
Yeah. And but yeah, Jay-Z helped curate that as well.
Oh.
Or Solange, I believe.
Okay.
Is on there. But like I walked in and it was a Jay-Z song playing.
Oh,
and
cool.
I don't remember what it was. But then like Beyonce was up next. And I was like, oh, this is nice. But I'm trying to think. outside of that, my favorites were, I feel like the classics, like George O'Keefe was cool. I'm trying to think of, I don't know. I kept like Van Gogh and all, you
but
know.
The
like,
thing, I guess ultimately why I asked the question is not, it's not about the artist. It's about what you appreciate aesthetically and creatively.
Right.
And then you talk about Baz Luhrmann, Jay-Z. So I get it. I get it. And that's really indicative of who you are. That's why I ask people that question, right? It's not really about the artist.
Right.
So the thing is, you know, that much about how there's all the backstory. It's like, well, you're at Papacito's because you got rejected from Cheesecake Factory. I'm just going to move this along. Ooh. And then you went to Johnny Gold Brick. And then that's where you did all the competitions. And then you moved to be an ambassador for Santa Teresa. And now, however, this latest chapter, which on February 1st, if I'm correct, you celebrate 2 years in the role, which would be great, is the LGBTQ. It's a lot of letters. Sorry if I messed up the acronym. And you identified as queer, which is great. You said that. Tell me what that means to you. What does queer mean to you?
What queer or the role?
Both.
I don't think we have enough time for that.
Fair.
It's.
How about this? Is it the role that you were always meant to have?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I say no because I didn't envision this, and this was part of one of my answers in the interview process. They asked me about it. I was like, I didn't see this as an option because I didn't see it. You know, I never thought, you know, I could do that. You know, when I was at Papacito's, I never dreamt about Tales of the Cocktails because I didn't know it existed. But then when I did and I went there and I was like, cool, this stuff exists. I want to learn more. When I saw my first Black ambassador, I was like, oh, I want to do that, because I didn't think that was a role. Like, I just thought you're a bartender, you'd be a bar owner, you own a bar, blah. But I was like, I kept getting closer to that. And I was like, this is cool for those people in those spaces, but that's not how my brain works. I don't want to do consulting, you know? And I even told someone that it was a joke. I said something like, I think I messaged like Bobby Hugo about adding like Jello shots to one of his new bars he just opened up. I was like, if you don't have Jello shots there, then I'm not coming. And it was like, well, you open up your own bar. And I was like, well, I don't think I have an original idea or a unique perspective to do that. And he was like, Rich Bailey, I think you definitely do.
Yeah,
like,
it sounds strange you
like
saying that.
Houston would crush your bar. Like, I was like, huh. But thank you for, you know, seeing that in me. But it was just like, no, I don't think I want to do that. And I like joke and say a lot of things, and then it's like it just roll out and happen. But you know, TB continue. But the role is, I can't really talk. It's just like, it's, feels important.
That's right.
Say, it feels important. It feels like, you know, like I'm given this great, because it's bigger than liquor and and things. Like, and I see it all the time when I'm
psychological, sociological. Yeah.
When I'm out in accounts and it's like, you know, because I get it, you know, like it feels great for having the eyes of, you know, a company that are invested into your community and that's, you know, being there.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel rainbow washed or whitewashed or whatever. It feels authentic, and for me to do it, it's like I don't want to fuck up, you know. I don't want to look bad, but also it's like, you know, like this is dope because, like, you know, yes, we need this, you know. Yeah, it's just, it feels and then like also too, like the conversations, like literally someone texted me yesterday, was just like, I don't think I, you know, thank you enough for like the hard work you get to do. And I don't want to sound like I'm just self-praising myself. But, you know, like, it does feel welcoming and warm to get those, like, affirmations from people that, like, hey, you're doing some really dope and amazing work. And, you know, and it's like, yeah, you know?
Okay, so I've got two questions left for you. That's a great, because that tells more than a specific yes or no, right? It really does. So I'm going to ask you this one first. Just because we're talking about artists and things, so if you can go and drink anywhere in the world with any artist, musical or George O'Keefe style, whatever, who might you like to have a drink with?
This is a great question. It's like one of my questions I ask on a date, actually. Like, if you could have a dinner party, who would you bring?
Exactly.
You know? I just think I'm inspired by a lot of people.
Yeah.
So if I could drink at a bar, first and foremost, I think of Lucille Ball.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I love that.
I think she's like a fun person to be around. think of, like I said, Baz Luhrmann. I think Prince.
Oh yeah.
Purple Rain, just whatever.
Yeah.
I think he would be great. Whitney Houston.
Mm.
You know, those are like some really solid heavy hitters, like musically.
Love that. Yeah.
I feel like all my friends are like screaming like, say Beyonce. Yeah. Like, you know, of course, from Houston native, you know, yeah, I think sure. She's like done just tremendous, like insurmountable work. I don't know. Like, it's a lot of people that's like, I always say like Ellen DeGeneres.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you never want to meet RuPaul. Like, mm-hmm. you never want to meet mm-hmm. Your idols, because yeah. then you don't want to be disappointed. You know, changes I used to everything. Always say Walt Disney. That was always my first answer. Then, like, I would get defensive when people say, well, what if he was racist?
Mm-hmm.
What if he was this?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, and then it's like, okay, like James Baldwin or mm-hmm. Duke Ellington.
Yeah,
sure. Like, it's a lot of people I can, like, the list goes on.
It's a good list. And I,
yeah. But first and foremost, I think he's not anybody that no one knows or whatever, but I would say the primary reason that I'm alive today is my great grandfather, who I'm named after, Richard Bailey Sr. Mm. Solely because, you know, he and I are both Aquarius. My mom wanted to have me after he passed away. He was our favorite person in the world. I was born exactly a week late. I was supposed to be born on his birthday.
What?
So she wanted to have a son. His name was going to be Richard, and it was going to be, you know, so she, when she met my dad, she's like, hey, I want to have a baby. This is going to be his name. I already picked out. My dad is a third. I'm supposed to be a fourth, but, you know, my mom won.
Well, Rich, I think that there's no amount of time that can capture the enormity of your feelings and your compassion for other people, but at least we got to do it in about 40 minutes, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
So I would say to anybody that's listening, go get a drink with Rich. Right? You're good with that, aren't you?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a couple of pictures. I know you got a meeting,
yeah.
but this, I hope, is not the last time that we sit down and talk definitely while drinking scotch.
I'm not going anywhere.
Well, I am.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure. Yeah. Thanks so much, Rich.
Yeah, Houston has my heart.
Yeah.
Austin has my brain right now.
And your body.
And my body. And my dog.
Well, there we have it. Rich Bailey from Bacardi. This was the first time that he and I had actually sat down and talked a bit. I'd seen him in passing a couple times. We knew who each other were, but it was really good. I always preface this, but there's some kind of vibe thing. There's some kind of channel thing, tone, whatever you want to call it, that weird Aquarians have. We're deep. We seem aloof. You know, I think if you meet me sometimes, you think I'm tuned out, but I'm paying attention to things, the details in the room and the things that you're saying. And Rich is no different. Very passionate person, very creative and multicultural. So I suggest, again, as I mentioned in the podcast, if you get a chance to have a drink with Rich, it is highly, highly suggested. Rich, thanks so much for taking the time out to talk with me. And thanks, everybody, for listening to Show to V with Mike G. No matter what you're thinking about making for dinner, you bought some baby portobello mushrooms, or if you're about ready to watch The Americans end on season 3, please keep dancing.